Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
How's everybody doing today? Can you guys hear me? Yeah? So good to see you. The Thomas family is out of town this week. Pastor Carl is on vacation, well-deserved vacation. Right? Pastor's on vacation, that's good news. How many guys know that's better to have rested leaders than tired leaders? Yeah? So they're out somewhere resting, enjoying the sun or the water or something. But today we have a special speaker who's not a guest, a leader in our house, whom we love, we appreciate. This morning we got Mike Rentler bringing the word. We love you, Mike.
Lose myself to find you.
Now let me tell you something about Mike Rentler. Now, other than the amazing hair in this region right here, is Maine. which is clearly God. The glory of God rests on him. On Friday night, we have Burning Room. And this past Friday was like any other night. We worshiped and ministered to about 9:15. And then at the end, kind of had, asked anyone who wanted prayer to come forward. And Mike was one of a handful of people who were praying. And Mike was here, the last one here, praying till after 10 o'clock for anybody who wanted prayer. And we know Mike ministers to the homeless. We know he loves God. But this he's an amazing guy. And we are blessed to have him sharing bringing the word this morning, because he loves God and he loves people and he loves us right here. So give it up for Mike one more time. Just awesome, awesome, awesome. You're preaching with this, right, Mike? You're preaching with this right here. So I got to give this to you now. This is the point where I let go of this. Okay. Hold on. Stretch your hands towards Mike. Father, we just bless Mike this morning, bringing the word. We pray that he would be filled and pouring over in the mighty name of Jesus. Give him the more. Ha.
Yeah, even more than that.
In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. One more time, give it up for Mike. Look at that Bible. That's how you know you use it. Look at that thing. How old is that Bible?
Oh,
it's first edition right there.
Yeah, right.
No, no, no. Second. Oh, good, it came up.
Don't play Bible roulette. Do not play Bible. Good morning, everybody. It's really good to see you. Do not play Bible roulette. Right before intercession, I did. I opened it up, and I know God was speaking to us through Ezekiel. I was shocked. Ezekiel 5. Yeah, it's 5:1. And you, son of man, Ezekiel, take a sharp sword and a razors and a barber's razor and shave your head and your beard. I go, no, that's not for me. I said, no, 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 no. Don't. That's a fair warning. Do not play Bible roulette. You will get something that you don't like. You will. And it's like, oh my. You know, it's like, oops, nope, I don't want to do that. I don't. You know, so one thing I've learned to do, my brain works so much faster than my mouth does. So what I'd like you to do is to forgive me right now, because I'm going to, my mind just goes, and my mouth doesn't keep up. And it's like different things come out of my mouth that I want to say. So I just ask everybody to forgive me right now, because it just makes it easier that way. Because then when I do it, when I apologize and I tell you it's going to happen, then it doesn't happen. It's whatever you prepare. So it's like I figured that out. More than anything else, I want to thank Carl, Pastor Carl and Tracy for letting us, you know, it's like, oh my God, I fell over when he told me, you know, it's like, whew. First thing I did, I tried to pass it off. I did, you know, it's like, hey. You know, I don't, you know, but it is an honor. It is, you know, one thing, this is my place. This is my place to fill up and encounter God. That's our season right now. Encounter. It's locked. Sorry. Oh, you got the key? Good. You got the key. I hope I get the key. But anyway, we're in the season of the encounter. One thing I found out all the way through the encounter is God likes our voice. God likes our voice. God really likes our voice. So the more we talk to him, and then I'm figuring out, I'm hanging out in his presence, and all of a sudden this fear comes on me. And I go, oh, God, that's you. That's you, God. You know, in the beginning of Proverbs and Psalms, both of them says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. So it's like, ooh, God's giving me a better understanding of who he is. And it's like all of a sudden you go, oh, yeah, and I'm not. I know that. And which ways I'm lacking and everything. I was just sitting right there. I mean, right there. I teach people that we minister with, try to be clean before some of them, oh, God, forgive me for everything, anything I've seen, everything I look, everything I think of. Oh, God, forgive me. We don't like to give the enemy any opportunities. Amen. We do not like the, and the enemy would try to take him all that he can. But in Colossians 2:2, in the Passion's translation, it says, I am contending for you that your heart will be wrapped in the comfort of heaven and woven together in love's fabric. So literally, God, I saw a loom when I started looking at this verse and I knew God was giving it to me. I had to hold it in the right position. You ever see one of those old-fashioned looms where they put one thread through and they pull it and tighten it up? And then every time there's a thread in there, that's our love and then God's love. Our love and then God, and he's pounding it in us together. Because when we start doing it exactly with him, it changes everything. It's like God has a blankie for each one of us. God has a blankie and he wants to wrap it around your heart, woven with his love. And this is what changes. I go like, man, I haven't had a blankie for a while. Ooh, this blankie feels good, though. And I like to feel good. And it's like, you look at the different strands, if you look at your clothes, and you think on how many different strands of love that God has for us. And it's like, whew, like different clothes every day. I've known people change their clothes 7 or 8 times in a day, you know? And it's like, God wants us to put a strand, love. Every time we add one God in. And then I like quiet time with God. God wants us to encounter him in our quiet times. This way we'll be equipped. When we understand that, like, he wants to just lavish us with a blankie over our hearts, then he's going to say, more. Purpose in the encounter. More than anything else, there's purpose to it. You know, we all like the love and everything, but as he lets us do it, in Colossians 2:2, part B, Yeah, it is B. I should. This will give you access to all the riches of God. I go, boy, I want all the riches of God. I go, Corey, you know what I'm speaking on this morning. I want all the riches of God. I don't want just some of them or part of them. And he says, I will give you all the riches of God as you experience the revelation of God's great mystery, Christ. Woo! Everything, right? Access points to his riches. Access points. Everybody does things differently. And how we get touched by God is different for everybody. Everybody gets touched differently. And I go there, oh, okay, God, I like that. Because I'm an individual. And I want God to touch me. So if he says he's going to do it for me, he's going to do it for you. But I want to know the way. I want to get in there and I go, God, I want to know the way so you can touch me, that you can take a thread of your love, put it on top of the thread of my love, and pound it in. So I go out, minister to a few people, and then one lady showed me a clip on a video about 2-3 weeks ago. And I said, that would be interesting to show at church, wouldn't it? So you guys ready? Hello? There it is.
Down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking, And Master Ronnie saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what to happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package gonna go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life.
Amen. Amen. God's got stuff for us. God's got stuff for us that we have no idea. And we just start walking it out. And then he goes, here, this is for you. Here, this is for you. And I'm like, we're going to get into a few testimonies later. But here in Colossians 2:3, God tells us something. For our spiritual wealth is in him, hidden, like hidden treasure, waiting to be discovered. You know? So my question is for you guys today is, how big's your spiritual bank account? How big is it? How big is it? How big is it? Think about it. How is my spiritual bank account, and how's it going? How big is it, you know? Do you have two? Do you have three accounts? Do you have four? Where? How big does God, you know, I mean, FDIC makes a special rule. You can only put so much in and da, 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 da. So how big is your spiritual bank account? I'll just think about that just for a second. Okay, it's larger than that. Whatever you thought of, it's bigger than that. God's got so much for us. Pick what you want for the day. Pick what you want for the day. And God will go like, okay, here, it's yours. Here, it's yours. And it's like, whoo, I needed that. And he goes, yeah, I know. But he's got them for us. We got to literally look for them. In Colossians 2:3, again, part C, it says, heaven's wisdom and endless riches of revelation knowledge. Endless. Endless. The more we ask for, the more we get. So we have to just keep on asking. When we think about that, I think about that. I go, oh, my God. I get there, and I want to see a Costco warehouse full of empty. I don't want to see anything when I get to heaven, you know, because God's got it all for us. I pray a bit for healing, and then a friend of mine gave me a plastic bag full of spare parts, ears and hands. I know, it was like a kid's toy or something, you know, and I still carry it with me. I don't have it today, do I? But I carry spare parts. I go, God, I know you got spare parts in heaven, whatever they need. Whatever you got, whatever they need, Lord, you've got it in heaven to deliver it to them. You know, and one of the things is, We have to mine it out, though. You see, there are treasures in heaven. So it's like you look at people and how they treasure hunt, and there's videos and cheap. But it's like we have to mine with an object to find it, though. We have to mine to find it. And like, this is our objective. We are going to find this. And it's like he's just saying, I'm going to find it no matter what happens. I am going to find exactly what this person needs and what I need to do. Our favorite church is Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship up in Toronto. And they had a banner across the back. And it said, we have to learn to walk in God's love and give it away. In Colossians 2:3, part C, it says, heaven's wisdom and endless riches of revelation knowledge. Endless riches. Endless. Because we all got to, well, when I retire, I want to have, no. Well, I want it. And I tell you, it's endless. It's more than what we could ever imagine. And how do we get there? You know, that's our hardest part, you know. It's our GPS system with God, you know. It's our God's positioning system. Every once in a while, everybody gets on their Waze or whatever they use to find out where they're going. But how do we really get there, you know, in the spiritual realm? God showed me one thing in the Matthew 7:7 in the Amplified Bible. It says, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. So when you don't get it the first time, you just don't turn around. Well, God didn't want me to. Yeah, he did. But sometimes there's a little bit of resistance. So keep on asking. And then it goes, oh, and keep on seeking. And seeking you will find. And knock, keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. You know what that sounds like to me? Persistence. God has set us up to win. I know that. He has set us up. And each one of us, I've read this, I teach it in the Intro to Revival Life class. Everybody's a number 10 at doing something. It's just figuring out what it is. And the more stuff you do, you find out, oh, wow. Some people say, I get to go out and I do a lot of different stuff. God's let me develop that over the years. And what happens is, people go, what's your favorite? And I go, the one I'm doing today. You know, I get more excited, and so it's like, because God says, go do it. And then it's like, when his global positioning system is on it, it's like, it gets really good. God has set us up to win. You know, I know in Revelations 12:11, it says, they conquered him completely through the blood of the Lamb and the powerful word of his testimony. Completely. It's like, through the blood of the Lamb, okay, Jesus, without you. I come here and it's like, I am so glad we're in this facility. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because sometimes the floor in the cafeteria was dirty. You know, and I really like laying down in carpet rather than on a dirty floor. I really do, you know. So it's like, whatever it takes to receive. And I go like, okay, God, you know, you got to fill me up. I want to go do that. I said, but God, fill me up. Anybody here try to do ministry and fail? I got every appendage up, you know? So one thing I figured out about it, we have to practice, you know? We have to practice. So as I read the Bible, in Judges 26, it says, they were having a war, and there were 36,000 soldiers. Among those soldiers, there were 700 select troops who were left-handed. Each one of them could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. I look at that, I go, wow. So I went back and I looked in the Hebrew, and it really meant hare. They were throwing stones at hares. And I'm like, wow, man, can you imagine that? I think, well, first off, who sacrificed the hare? You know, I'm sure they'd put me up for bid, you know? I mean, where'd they get the hares from, you know? And then when they're throwing the rocks, who held the hare? You know, I mean, when you missed, you got the person's hand. So it's like, ooh, it's definitely interesting. But how did they get there? They had to practice. Out of 36,000, there were 700 of them that wouldn't miss. They couldn't miss. So it's like, God, I don't want to miss. More than anything else, God, I don't want to miss. And how did they get to be so good at it? They practiced. I don't know how many people that I've turned away from God by being rude and stupid. Really? I have. You know, I've got a bunch of notes in my Bible about how not to evangelize. I really know how not to do it better than anybody else because you just do. But then after a while, you start listening and I've gone to every conference and all the stuff about evangelism. I went to this person's course and that person's course. But that's how I got people go, oh, Mike, they come out with me and go, oh, you do that so good. a friend of mine's wife that I go to jail with. I just encountered her, and she said, like, you just do that so good. I go, yeah, it was my first day. And she goes, really? I go, no. You know, come on. I've done this a few more weeks, you know? But it's like people, you know, everybody has one thing for God, and they're going to do it well. But you got to practice. Corey, how much practice time do you have in on the guitar? A lot. Oh, the Beatles. We all know the Beatles, right? They practiced for 10,000 hours before they got their first gig. You know, we don't hear that part of them. We just go, oh, look how great they are. Well, they are great, were, whatever. But still, they learned it by practicing. If they can practice for the world, can we practice for God? There's no difference. It's like, whoa, we can do that. And one of the biggest things I've learned in the practice part, in 1 Corinthians 13:8, it says, love never fails. You know, if we do it in love, even if you make a mistake at it, the people can feel your whole emotions thing. You know, and if you get a little nervous or, and I'm like, oh, I get nervous all the time. You know, people go, you get nervous. We go on a treasure hunt, and I'm like, my mouth is dry, and my stomach's in a little thing, and we're walking up, but I'm there like, I'm so glad when a couple people meet me as I walk up. I go, yeah, and they're cheering me on. I'm like, yeah, you don't know how scared I am. You know, because it's like we are having a fight between light and darkness. And it's like, we were going to FAU at that time. And it was just like, I know, there's 26,000 people here, you know. So it's like a big pond. So it's just a fun place to do it. We go, we'll get into that later. We go to a lot of places. But as we do it, God will let us minister to individuals too. You know, and that's one of the biggest things. If we can just take what God gives us, you know, and then you'll be just... And the guy, all of a sudden people start pouring out to you, you know, I had the worst weekend and this went wrong and this went wrong and this went wrong. And then I was doing that with a gentleman a little while back and he was, yeah, okay, that's good. I'm like, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. A mighty fortress is our God, John 16:33. And I hit him with all these verses and it meant absolutely nothing to him. And I'm like, I'm giving them my best verses too, you know, when you're in trouble and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden I'm sitting there and then I saw a vision of him doing something. And then I told him that. He goes, oh, that's it. He was ready to go. Sometimes we can take all the verses in the world, but we need an encounter with God to give him the answer that God needs to speak to him. You know, and I'm like, I was like, oh, what else? I'm running out of verses and stuff. And it's like all of a sudden God gave me, it's just a glimpse. And he goes, oh, that was it. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. That was it. Because I didn't know. I just, you know, the word will definitely clean him up. It'll help him. And I told him, make sure you memorize these and stuff, because that's what led up to the experience. But as we go through it, what does love really look like? In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love is large and incredibly patient. Incredibly patient. I look at that and I go, man, I'm short there, Lord. I am. I want things to happen now. I'm a now type. But it's like, sometimes you just got to wait. One of my best friends here in Florida, I waited 16 years for him to accept Jesus. And it was hard. It's hard sometimes. It is. And then others, it's like instant. People that I don't even know. And it's like, boom, what? You know? God had to work something out. Then the guy read the Bible. He was retired at the time. He read the Bible 5 times in the first year. And I'm like, boy, he was catching up with me. And I'm like, everybody that you speak to, every bit of anointing, every bit of goodness, every bit of love that you give them, they get it instantly. And then they get to go and do more than what we've had to begin with. You know, and you sit there and you go, oh, that's what you're doing, God. Everything that we got. Everything. And it's like, I was really nervous for 2 weeks after Carl told me I had to preach. And Henry told me, he goes, Mike, he gave you his anointing to do it. I said, oh, okay, good. And that was fine. It was just that one word. It's like, amen. My hand's sweaty, huh? Nope. I used to get real nervous and my hands sweat and everything. And it's like, that's my indicator. We're laying there this morning. She goes, my hand's okay? She goes, yeah, your hands are okay. You know, they are. You know, but the number one thing we have to do is practice sharing our encounter. Practice sharing it. Whatever God gives you, you just practice it. And if we stumble a little bit, it's okay. God says, that's okay. At least you tried, you know? And then God will give you something, and then all of a sudden it'll change their whole direction of their life instantly. I gave a friend of mine, he was up in
Marie, no. Where does Arthur live? Boone, North Carolina. I had a word for him and I sent it up to him. It was Joshua 1:8, you know, then you should be courageous and have good success and stuff. Then like 6 months later, he calls me. Yeah, I quit my job because of your verse, Mike. Oh, thank you. Yeah, but he's going to be a private filmmaker rather than one that works for an industry or something. But it's like, oh God. But it's God's word that changed him, you know. But if I didn't share it, he goes, it was Easter Monday that you gave it. He told me the exact, I'm like, I don't remember. You know, he was riding back from a vacation and everything. So, Lord, as Pastor Carl and Pastor Tracy, Isaac and Anastasia are coming back, Lord, give them verses that'll lead them, that'll show them. Just inject new stuff into them, Lord, more than anything else. We thank you for that, Lord. But the number one thing is practice sharing your encounter. Number two, make great choices. See, that's the hard part, making the right choice. And a lot of times, you know, think how much time, 168 hours in a week. I tell that to the guys in jail all the time. I get in there, and it's about half this size. And they got chairs in there watching the TV. And I go in there, and I go, hey, come on. And the guy goes to me, I'm good. I go, okay. I walk over to him, and I go, do you know where you are? You're in jail. Something might have happened. You're not that good. You know, it's like... So many people are in denial of what's going on, you know, and then I go my favorite. They come in there and I go walk in there and I go, ice cream. And all the new guys turn their head because the old guys know I'm lying, you know, but I get to see who are the new guys. It's literally jail. Well, sometimes we only see people once or twice, but it is, you know, the deputies like it. They like any kind of change, but it's funny, you know, it's like, ooh. Now, do I got to tell the ice cream story, too? I got time, too. No, I won't. We'll let it go. Next time, we'll tell the ice cream story. Make great choices, though. Sometimes the guys in jail, they didn't make a really good choice. I got it figured out. Somebody arrested you. Here's a challenge for them. And I go, here's a challenge. I try to get them forgiveness and everything. I go, have you forgiven the deputy that arrested you? Ooh, the room gets really quiet then. I go, I'm not asking you to do it now. Go back to your bunk and think about it. You know, get the flow going a little bit. And they go, ugh. So it's like, you got to hit people. And God will give you stuff like that. I mean, who would think that ice cream would be a big deal in jail? Not me. Yeah, probably me, but, you know, sometimes. In Philippians 3:13, says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. I press towards the goal to win the prize. So it's not like, anybody ever see an Olympic person? How much do they practice in years? And they're pressing for a goal that's going to dissipate completely. You know, the goals and the things that we give people are the only thing that's going to last forever. They will last forever. 1 Corinthians 3:4, something like that. Everything in the world is temporary, but the only thing in the spirit realm is concrete. I only bring that up when it's haircut time and stuff. You know, this is temporary, isn't it? Or women get their hair colored. It's just, they tell you it's permanent. You read it, permanent. It's not permanent. It's temporary. I've read the rules. Everything on earth is temporary. But the things that we do for God, they're forever. They're forever. And I'm like, oh God, they're forever. And we don't even know what that means yet, but... It sounds good. And we get like saying, oh, yes, yeah, speak to me. For sure. Sue and I, we go to a few assisted living places. And it all started by accident. I knew a guy who was probably 20 years now. And he was just average type guy and everything, struggling. And then he ended up a couple surgeries and he ended up in an assisted living facility. So I go over there out of guilt, obligation, you know, I've known him. Sometimes when you do it out of guilt and obligation, God still shows up. Yeah. I went there and it was real. Then I go again the second time. You guys were involved. It was Lauderhill Manor. And then I went the second time and I saw him. And he goes, oh, we got a guy here that teaches a Bible study on Sunday nights and Wednesdays. I said, oh, okay, I'd like to meet him. You know, so I meet him and he's got this big esophagus problem. He had cancer and radiation and all the stuff. And he was just,
I'm trying to say it nicely, spitting up a lot. I mean, like he'd carry a thing with him, like a spittoon. Well, no, it was bad. And so we're sitting there at the table. We went down to one of the fingers, and we're sitting down at the table. And I prayed for him, and then it went away. Hallelujah. The guy was healed, you know? And I'm like, he's there like, and then he goes, I mean, he is a, he's not moving in realms of the spirit, or he wasn't then. He is now. Because then he invited us. He goes, well, you ought to come and teach. I said, ooh, I can do that. I mean, we had what, 110, 120 people there? And it was just like, ooh, ooh. You know, as people get scared of me, they go, I see a person in a wheelchair. I get excited. I go, ooh, God's going to do a miracle here. You know, it's not good for them to be in a wheelchair, but I just know God will do something. You know, we had Travis and I were there praying for a lady who had a stroke. And she hadn't been out of the wheelchair in 20 years. You know, and I mean, we prayed. It was 20 minutes we're praying with her, and we've been praying weeks with her before and everything. And all of a sudden, she got up out of the chair. We were scared. You know, she got out of the chair, and it's like, whoo, look at that. Yeah, look at that. And she's holding on to stuff. I mean, her legs were really big. And she's hanging. And like 20 minutes, she's walking around the room, and we're getting scared. If she falls or something, I'm dead. They're going to come after me, man, you know? But it's like, if we ask God, He will do it. Amen. He will do it. You know, we go to a different one down on Oakland Park and Federal Highway. And there's between 8 and 10 people. And this place, they're really smart. They keep mulling wheelchairs. This way they can't fall. So I thought, I'm over there praying for a guy to walk. And he goes, oh, I can walk. And they're like, oh, gee, good God. You know, thanks for giving me the clue here. So we have this short time. We bring in a DVD, and I'm showing them the Book of Matthew, and we show them a little bit of Book of Matthew, and we talk about it afterwards, and then Sue and I, we get to pray for him. And so this guy looks at me, who was really a nudge. Anyway, never mind. But he is, you know. Hey, but he is. And he goes, oh, by the way, my kidneys are better. My kidneys. Yeah, okay, thank you. You should have told me that a little while ago when I asked, because I challenge each one of them. And I go, pick out one story in the Bible you can share when you go to the doctor's office. You're always sitting next to somebody, and you're always talking about your aches and pains. Yeah. I said, well, pick out one story to share with somebody, and this way you can release a little light in their lives, you know? And it's like I give them time to talk and stuff, and it's like, and they just said it. He goes, oh, my kidneys are better. And I'm like, you know, puts me over the top. It doesn't take much, you know. But it's like we get through the thing. We're watching. We got them from 1 hour, 10:30 to 11:30. It's right before lunch, so they're pretty awake. So we put on the Book of Matthew, and we're watching it. Well, they are sometimes. And then I talk for a few minutes, and that might. And then we look around the room, and half of them are asleep. You know, and I'm there like, well, what happens is the peace of God rolls into the room, and it's the first peace they've had in 2 weeks. So they're all, it's like, then we wake them up to pray. Wake up. I'm going to pray for you. But it's like, these are just experiences when we do it. When we do the Matthew DVD, we have one lady, she didn't talk much. She had a stroke or whatever. And the highlight of the day is when I rewind the DVD and she watched Jesus do everything backwards. This is her highlight. She's like, laughs and laughs, you know. But, you know, yeah. It is. It's definitely interesting. You know, sometimes if you serve people, the craziest thing will touch them. That makes absolutely nothing. And I'm frustrated. I got to get this. Which button is it, hon? That's not doing it right, you know. You wouldn't believe it. I'd get a little frustrated, huh? When we started there, they had a really big TV, probably bigger than that and all this stuff. Sound bar, the whole bit, because they're a little lacking in hearing. So we plug in the DVD. It's one HDMI cord, and then you plug it in. It's not complicated. For 4 weeks, we couldn't get it to work. And then finally, we got it to work, and they're all happy. They like that. And then every time we'd unplug the plug, something would go wrong with the TV. The maintenance guy would have to come up. They said, well, can you do something else? And I'm there like, no, we got to show them the word. Because I try to convey it to them in as many methods as possible. But sometimes there's a lot of resistance when you start going out and doing things. And you figure, God, you told me to do it. So when you know that God's in the place and you start getting some resistance, just keep pressuring in. Just keep pressure. Resistance. Be persistent. Be persistent. How many encounters do we get here on a Sunday? How many? You know? So when we get out there, it's like God wants us to share all the encounters that we had. So, oh, here's a commercial coming up. Treasure hunts meet once a month. The second Tuesday of every month. We're starting to talk about treasure hunts. Tonight we're having a class here from 5 to 9. Sorry. I know. From 5 to 9, we're having a treasure hunt class. It's in the middle of Firestarters because that's part of the requirements for the Firestarters. And if anybody wants to join Firestarters, it's not an exclusive club. You can come anytime you want. You don't have to just come for all 12. You can come for every other one, for 6 or whatever you want. But God just kind of meets us. We did it. Uh-oh. Who's Sarah? Where's Sarah? She in the back? Okay, you don't know. It's your wife. Well, anyway, I didn't realize it, but we had the first fire tunnel last Sunday night here. Ooh, I go, ooh, that was neat, you know. I mean, if I want them to get fired up a little bit, you know. So the next one is July 10th. It'll be our next treasure hunt. July 10th, Tuesday night, 6:30, my house. If you need to know how to get there, ask Sue. Just give her something to do after. Yeah, give her, she's my administrative assistant. She's the cook for the homeless. She's the clothing director. Yeah, just give her something else to do. Let's see what else we can give Sue to do here. And she goes, No, Mike. One of the places we do, we go on treasure hunts a lot when school's in session is FAU. So we were walking up one day, Travis, Andres, and I, and we ran across two priests. Intern priest. They weren't full priest yet. And they were coming there to share the gospel. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. I said, well, we're taking people's spiritual temperature to see how they're doing. Two Catholic priests accepted Jesus. You know, it's like, I'm there like, they're coming to minister and they don't know. They weren't sure if they were going to heaven or not. They were trying to earn their way and do all this stuff. You know, and we're there like, ooh, this is going to be a good night tonight, man. We're catching priests here, you know. You know, it's like, you. My favorite one there was, you know, anybody feel intimidated when I go out and try to tell people about Jesus? Yeah. I do, you know, and it's like, my tongue gets over there. Well, we were over there and I'd led one guy to Jesus and he wanted to join us the next week. I said, sure, you can join me. Yeah, come on. Yeah, he was like, he goes, I like that. It felt good. I go, yeah, it did, didn't it? So he comes out the next week and I give him a little sheet, a couple verses, lead somebody to Jesus and stuff. And he takes off, goes up inside the student union, goes upstairs. About a half hour later, he comes down with a whole band, 7 people. I didn't tell him it was one-on-one, you know? So he led a whole band to Jesus. I go, did you go over to verses? Did you go over to verses? He goes, yeah, I did. And he goes, so guess what? It's not me. It's not you. You just take this, you go, oh, this is what Jesus said, you know? You know, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Oh, she goes, watch the time. Okay. Mm-hmm. I learned one thing, treasure hunting. Put a seatbelt on and go, you know, because it's going to surprise you. Different things happen. You got to be like Gumby, because I will not argue theology. I will not, you know, all the stuff that they want to do, the college kid. No, nope. So pray for our treasure hunts, please. Please pray for our treasure hunts. Yeah. Jail has been our favorite thing on the weekend. I get to go there. I get to go Wednesday nights and I go Saturday mornings. But the big thing that happened this year, on February 21st, we started a women's jail ministry. Ooh. Now we have 8 women that went through orientation. So they're taking hold of the women in Broward County. We're trying to get the men and they're gotten the women. So since I don't get in there to go with the women, I have my little report for us. So it's 10:20. I'm going to read it anyway. This is one report from one meeting, because I like to know what happens in there. Zoe was the lead chaplain. Diane and Lydia were with them. They started out the meeting by asking if anyone needed prayer. 5 ladies said yes. Lydia had a word that the ladies were having trouble sleeping. All 5 of the ladies had this issue. Doom. During prayer, God audibly answered one of the woman's prayer about where she could go when she was released. Another woman felt bondage leave. All 4 women at the table felt the presence of God take the weight off them. We mostly talked about the promises embedded in Ephesians, Romans 10, John 3:16. Three ladies were brought to tears during the salvation prayer and the worship time. Lydia and Diane both spoke about the identity of daughters of God and this grace. And I saw an angel on Lydia, and she spoke and prayed for the ladies. I gave a short devotion on the widow in 2 Kings 4. We prayed for the ladies, and we ended the meeting with worship. A lady I had ministered to ended it. Who used to be in solitary confinement, moved into the unit and was most grace-filled time that I've ever been. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. You know, a friend of mine and I, we've been going to jail for a while. We've been praying for 7 years for a women's jail ministry, you know, and boom, eight ladies are now going through it in a rotation. And it's like, the grace that's on this house is unbelievable. It's like everything that we could possibly need for the kingdom, God just lays it out. And, you know, oh, it's not all good. Okay, I'd love to share. The chaplain's office calls me once in a while because they know I got a little more time. And so they sent me to see a guy that was a murderer. You know, and so I came in and I saw him. He wanted to know if he could be forgiven. He was 21 then, it was 19, you know, his mom gave him money for a computer. Instead, he went to Fort Lauderdale Beach for a vacation, and something happened. I don't know. He was happy, happy, happy that he only got 30 years. You start crying. He could have gotten life, but he was happy. You know, so you get these things, and you go, oh, it's really real. When people do bad things happen to them. So we have to go in there. We have to shine the light. We have to shine the light. He was thrilled. You know, I've done it once before. I go, and they ask me about, can murderers go to heaven? They think that's the dividing line. When you're out on treasure hunts, wherever you are, people go, oh, well, I didn't kill anybody. And I go, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. They go, why? I go, I'm standing next to you. I don't want you to kill me. So they think murder's the dividing line. And I started showing him all the men in the Bible that were murderers. And he was just shocked. But God, you know, and he was happy. He got 30 years. And I'm like, oh, I could never be happy. With 30 years. One of the places we get the most practice. Anybody want to practice their gifts? We go to the bus station down at Fort Lauderdale on Broward Boulevard. Whew. I have seen homeless people there. I have seen people from jail there. And there's quite a few people I see. And one of the biggest things was a man came up to me from jail. And he said, I got out 3 years ago. You know, 3 years ago we see 800 to 1,000 people a year, you know? So you're talking 3,000 people ago, he saw me in jail. Could have been one. And he goes, I remembered. He had his Bible that we gave him. He goes, it's right here in my backpack. I've got it. I have. And I'm like, oh, my God. For 3 years, he kept it. And he goes, phew. Do you have that picture ready? Yes. I ran into this guy at the bus station. Him and his wife, they were looking for a place to stay and stuff. We were praying for him. And then he had sunglasses on. If we look to his right eyelid, he's got a tattoo. He was in prison for a while. Then he got out. And then he had this tattoo because he went to ministry school. We can barely read it from here. He'd close his eyes and he'd go, look, look. And I go, what? I couldn't. It says, I repent. I'm like, boy, he's serious. Have repent tattooed on top of your eyelid. So, you know, and he goes out and he teaches. But he was just like, whoo, you know, and it's like, man, if I didn't get down and go to the bus, I'd have never seen this guy. I'd have never seen him. And it's like, I repent. I go, boy, I'd have take that as my motto. I mean, that was Jesus' first message. He goes, Matthew 4:17, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, you know, and there's no limit to that. There's no limit. We can repent as many times. I was sitting right there 25 minutes ago or so, repenting. I go, okay, God, I want to be clean when I get up there. I'm sorry, you know, because we're silly, especially me. I'd like to thank everybody for Revival Pantry, all the clothes that we got. Yes, Lord, thank you. In Deuteronomy 15:11, it says, this is Moses, there will always be poor in the land. Whew. I used to get really cranky at the poor. I fed the poor for a year every Saturday. You know, I'm like, they're not getting any better. And I was like, and then God says, well, why don't you read the Bible? See what I have to say about it. I have 30 pages of verses that talk about the widow, the poor, and the foreigner. It never once, as far as I can tell, if somebody can show me, I'll need it. It never once says they're going to get better. It just says take care of them. So it took all the burden off me. I was free then. It's like, oh, all I have to do is feed them and give them what I got. And they go, well, I want this. Okay, well, you pray. God will have somebody give it to me, and I'll give it to you. It's a simple process. If you want something, it's easy. It's easy, easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy, easy. Easy, easy. I can't tell all the story, sorry. Next time. Number three, with the encounter, we all encounter God, we come here. We all encounter God when we come here.
Yeah.
Okay. Follow through with God. Follow through with God. You know, because he'll tell us stuff. For our everyday life, for our ministry life, for our spiritual life, follow through with God. Follow through with them. Man, if I miss it a lot. I do, or I feel like I do. I know I do. I'm repenting. You know? When I come up here and everybody hears about all the stories and stuff, and usually one lady comes up during the meetings and she goes, you know, you're awful prideful. And I go, yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, men are always prideful. We just are, you know, it's just something you got to repent of all the time, you know, but it's like, there's always people that have these remarks when Sue goes, wrap it up. Okay. Hey, she's my administrator. Look at her. She's not going to come to the next meeting now. I deserve that. This is a quotation from Theodore Roosevelt. A friend of mine gave it to me last week because he knew I was going to be speaking. Comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. I don't expect anybody here to be me because it's me. But just be yourself. Be yourself, and you will just have the time of your life. Be yourself. Be yourself. And it's like, oh, I could be. Yep, just be yourself. We didn't talk about anybody playing the keyboard or anything afterwards, did we? Nope. Huh? Yeah, just a keyboard would be good, Mikey. Just a little bit. Here's the biggest thing. More than anything else, there was a rich man in heaven or in hell, and then Lazarus was in heaven. And this rich guy had the best all his life. And then all of a sudden, zoom, they both died on the same day. And I don't know how, but the rich guy saw Lazarus in heaven being taken care of in Abraham's bosom. Our goal here is to make sure everybody gets to go to heaven. Everybody. Everybody. Not that they turn the lights off, I can see less people. Have fun with it. But make sure you and your family, in Acts 16:31, it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be saved, and your household. So walk in that, you know. And if anybody doesn't know Jesus, where's Christopher? Psst, thank you. Anybody doesn't have a, you know, firm foundation, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by work, so no one can boast. It's a free gift to go. We've got to have a relationship with Jesus, believe that he rose from the dead. And just stay there. Thank you. Stay there. No, be yourself. Be yourself. Guys, be yourself. And just ask yourself, just take a second and ask yourself, you know, hey, if I died, am I going to heaven today? You know, that's a thick one, isn't it? It's like, doom. Well, if anybody wants to talk with Chris afterwards, you're good to go. He'll help you. But more than anything else, who wants more? You've heard all the stories. And people that hang with me know me. It's like, whew. I'll let go. We won't talk about it. I'm just a regular guy. That's it. We had a couple people over the house last Sunday in between the classes. And we all went to sleep. What else do you do after church? You know? And one lady said, because we turned the lights off and closed the curtain, she goes, I feel like I'm in kindergarten. I said, God wants us to relax. Be real. When you're real to people, they will know it. And they'll go, oh, yeah, they really care about me. They really care about me. And I'm like, oh, good. I'm glad. That's all people want to know, is that you care for them. So whoever wants more of that, we'd like to come up and we'll pray for you. Whoever wants more of what, you know, because God does it. He's the one that sets up the deal, not me. So thank you, Lord, right now, Jesus, more boldness, Lord. Joshua 1:8, and they shall be strong and courageous, Lord. They shall be strong and courageous, Lord. Strong and courageous, Lord, more than anything. Strong and courageous, Lord. We call it out right now, Lord. We wash away all fear, apprehension, and a bottle of water, please. Thank you, hon. I didn't drink any at all. But it's like unbelievable. Fresh water, Lord. Fresh water on hearts and souls. Fresh water, Lord. You said you're new and afresh every day, Lord. Every day. And we thank you for that, Jesus. So if anybody wants more prayer for reaching their full potential, become fully mature. Fully mature, Lord. Yeah, help me with that too. Thank you, Jesus. Fully mature. Fully mature. We thank you for that, Jesus. Amen.